welcome to Babbittville Radio. My name is Bob Babbitt, and we're brought to you by the California 1020. Coming up on Sunday, February 15th, that's 10 miles, 20 bands, Del Mar Fairgrounds, Encinitas, and back. Cal1020.com is the website. After the race, Don Felder from the Eagles will be playing. Also brought to you by try-palooza.com, our first annual. Saturday night, February 21st, Meb Keflezighi, Dean Karnazes, Tim DeBoo, Molly Huddle, Meredith Kessler, Ben Hoffman, some of the greatest legends in endurance sports will be there. You can just go to try-palooza.com for tickets. My next guest, Mr. Brett Murray, joins us from Australia. Brett, how are you?
Good, Bob. G'day. How are you going?
I am doing wonderfully. So take me back a little bit. What sports were you into growing up?
Well, I've represented the state or been a state champion here in Australia in five different sports, being swimming, surfing, surf lifesaving, rugby league, and boxing. So rugby league is the Aussie version of football.
Right. And so obviously, very athletic guy. As a kid, were you somebody who experienced bullying or was somehow moved by seeing somebody else who had been bullied?
Yeah, ironically enough, I was a victim of chronic bullying. I wasn't a very big kid. I was quite small, very late developer, so a very easy target to pick on. And sports happened to be my escape. So even with the rough and tumble of rugby league, I wasn't a big player, but I had a good turn of speed. But I really found a lot of my solace in surfing and swimming.
So in the solitary sports like that, is it tough as an athlete, obviously a very accomplished athlete, to deal with bullying, or did you find that being a good athlete made the bullying go away?
That's a really good question. I think in the moments when I was in the sport, obviously you're not being bullied when you're competing or even when you're just enjoying the surf or out on the field. But, unfortunately, even amongst my teammates, particularly at school sport, if you weren't on the training paddock and you weren't on the playing field, if you were in the classroom, in the playground, they treated you differently. And I found that I got picked on just in the normal social setting more than most. Once we were on the field, there were still those jibes from some of the teammates. Some teammates wouldn't involve you in certain plays, they'd still exclude you, but for me it was quite continuous. That's why I really sort of gravitated in my later teenage years towards surfing, because you could find that solitude where you actually didn't have to engage anyone.
So did you find it was sort of a particular group? Did the bullying come from one or two individuals, or is it one of those things where it really becomes a group activity?
Well, it did initially start with one or two individuals, but it quickly spread amongst school kids particularly. No one wants to be the bottom of the pecking order, so if there's an easy target, everyone tends to focus their attention on that easy target. And so I quickly became the victim of bullying from nearly everyone in my year group, which was over 200 people. Well, I went to an all-boys Catholic school.
Yeah.
And so one of the contributing factors was that my parents were divorced and I lived with my mother. And at the time in Australia, divorce was not as rampant as it is now. So to call your mum down to the school to defend you was just not on. It was very taboo. So like many kids, I suffered in silence.
So that's what I was going to ask. So you didn't lash out and start getting in the fights. You just sort of went out in the surf and dealt with it.
Yeah. I mean, there was one occasion where it was actually at a school fight where I did lash out of pure desperation, but that tended to backfire because the guy I lashed out at was much stronger than me, so he tended to beat the tar out of me. So didn't work very well.
So in your athletic career, when did triathlon come into your life?
Well, strangely enough, I I saw, we have a show here in Australia called Wide World of Sports.
Sure.
And many, many years ago, I saw the Rick and Dick Hoyt story.
Yep.
And it moved me. It really moved me. And I thought, one day I'll do that. One day I'll do that. And I grew up watching Brad Bevan and Chris McCormack. I mean, Macca, I'm 3 months older than Macca. But, Brad Bevan, Greg Welsh, I remember watching him win the Ironman. So it was something that I always had in the back of my mind, but thought, oh, no, I could never do that. And it would have been about five years ago, a friend of mine who wanted to lose a little bit of weight, he said, look, I'm going to do the Noosa triathlon, the Olympic distance. Why don't you come and do it with me? And I went, oh, no, I couldn't do that, you know, and sort of talked my way out of it. But he went and did it and said it was just the best experience of his life. And so I thought, well, yeah, I might have a go at this. And the sort of person I am, I don't do anything by half measures.
Right.
So I just decided, okay, I'm going to do Ironman Australia. And approached Ironman Australia to see if they would support me to race, specifically to raise awareness for bullying. And they questioned me. They said, well, hang on a minute, what is Ironman or triathlon got anything to do with bullying? And I said, well, what a lot of people do not understand is that bullying isn't just one-off negative incidences. Bullying is long-term, ongoing negative behavior,
right.
And it's usually targeted. And they said, well, yeah, go on. And I said, well, to complete an iron distance race is going to take a long-term disciplined effort, isn't it? And they said, yeah, of course. And I said, well, to stop bullying is going to take a long-term disciplined effort. They went, ah, we get it now. And I said to Ironman Australia, well, will you sponsor me? Will you allow me to come in the race and we'll get some media? And they said, oh, welcome to the race, but just like everyone else, you've got to pay your own entry fee. And I said, oh, okay. So I went to jump online and the race was sold out. And in that time, Macca had just won the first ever Cairns Challenge.
Right.
And I didn't even know who Challenge were. I'm a rookie. Like, I haven't even...
Sure.
All I know is what I've seen on TV. So I contacted Challenge and they fell over backwards. They said, yes, Brett, we want to support what you're doing. We love the cause. We think, this is exactly the sort of thing we want to support. So they sponsored me for the next year. In that 12-month period, Ironman had bought out the event company that was running Cairns
right.
Challenge. So it became the Cairns Ironman. And 8 weeks before, this is 2012, 8 weeks before the event, I ruptured a disc in my back and was told that if I didn't get an operation, I wouldn't walk properly ever again.
Oh, how'd you do that?
Just through training. I mean, all the sports that I'd done over the years,
right.
Particularly boxing, you know, you would have thought that I'd have a strong core, but I'd actually been misusing my body and relying a lot on my back, and that had put a lot of strain on my disc, and I'd actually ruptured one to the point where I had a 14-millimeter segment of disc wall lodged in my sciatic nerve.
Oh.
So it was very painful, and I couldn't feel my right leg. But very long story, very short, I refused to have an operation, did some serious rehab, contacted the people who had initially sponsored me, and they said, well, look, you know, you can't do the event this year. We'll carry the sponsorship over to next year, to 2013. And in that time, I got to know Chris McCormack. He's a legend of the sport.
Yep.
I joined his Macca X team to learn how to train. And I couldn't believe that he is arguably the best triathlete that's ever lived. Talking to me on Facebook personally, we actually had a couple of phone calls. And he just said to me, mate, whatever I can do, I'll back you. And I'm just like, this is crazy. I've never even done a triathlon. I've got, five times world champion or four times world, whatever he is, in my corner. This is nuts. And so we formulated a friendship. He actually did Cairns that year, and we met the rest of the team. And I could not believe it. Just the amount of support from the triathlon community was mind-blowing. And I was actually a featured athlete in that race. And it was crazy because they had a documentary being filmed. I did my first ever triathlon 3 weeks prior, which was an Olympic distance. And here I am doing an Ironman in Cairns, my second ever triathlon. And it was amazing and just experiencing the absolutely outrageous encouragement that is the atmosphere of the community of triathlon blew me away. And I just said at the the athlete dinner, if we could bottle this, if we could bottle this attitude and this way of treating people, we would destroy bullying worldwide. Because, unfortunately, bullying has such a massive negative impact. 80% of all teen suicides, particularly here in Australia, are directly as a result of bullying. So it's really a life and death issue. And when the triathlon community got behind me, I thought I was just going to do one iron distance event. I've come back and done Cairns twice, just finished the 70.3 in Western Sydney in end of November. I've done Challenge Foster, and now the Challenge family have gotten behind me and said, look, any race you want to do, you got free entry, we want to support you. And it's just amazing having triathlon communities embrace me. So I'm hooked, and yeah, it's amazing.
So obviously you dealt with it yourself. Did bullying stay front of mind for you when you were done with playing rugby? Did you move right into working on bullying, working to try to eliminate bullying? It seems like it's always been front of mind for you.
Oh, definitely. For the last 11 years, I've been my nation's number one anti-bullying campaigner. I've helped launch the National Day Against Bullying and Violence on national TV here in Australia. Recognised now worldwide as one of the leading anti-bullying campaigners and authors. I've written a book called Make Bullying History, and we're launching a charity called Make Bullying History next month. And it's been something that I've worked with youth for a long, long time. And it's strange. I'm a vehicle painter by trade, but I end up becoming a teacher in like an auto shop. And in that shop, we actually dealt with particularly disadvantaged youth. And then I sort of gravitated from working with those disadvantaged youth. I was asked to run programs inside the juvie detention centres, mm-hmm. the juvenile detention centres. And I find that it's weird, I've gravitated towards the bullies and helping the bullies understand themselves, because understanding themselves and why they act the way they do actually helps stop the bullying. Because if you just keep going to the victims and trying to prop them up and trying to help them and support them, which they do need, you're never going to stop the perpetrators. So not by design, but just simply organically, I've found myself leaning towards running boot camps, for example. We did boot camps for about 5 years where we would take the specific bullies from schools that had been identified as repeat offenders, and we would literally take them away on a boot camp for a week and just do a lot of physical training, a lot of great nutrition, teaching them to eat well, and then doing a lot of motivational sessions and working together. We'd have the police come and visit us on these camps, and just really speaking life and positivity into the lives of these kids and letting them realise that they can be an asset to society, not a liability. And it's funny, because of all the physical training and nutrition and everything, seems to have just dovetailed, fitting hand in glove with what triathlon's all about. It's all about great nutrition, healthy lifestyle, but also positive mindset and overcoming challenges. So now triathlon and me competing in triathlons aids my work because I'm a full-time speaker in high schools and businesses. That's what I do and have done for the last 11 years. So every triathlon that I do, every struggle that I go through, every sponsor that I land is a story in and of itself of overcoming adversity and fulfilling your potential.
So what causes someone to become a bully? To me, that's always been fascinating. What, the kids growing up in the same house and one kid's not a bully, his brother is. How does it come about, or is it just different all the time?
Well, it's not a one-size-fits-all, but there is a general rule, and the general rule is that people who have a low self-esteem or poor self-worth tend to be the people who pick on others. If you find someone who is comfortable in their skin and they're confident in who they are, they don't need to tear other people down. And when I say tear other people down, I mean a lot of your listening audience would understand the mind games that Macca used to play against and still does sometimes against his competition. Yep. That's not bullying. That's just a mental competitiveness.
Right.
But when I'm talking about belittling, dishonoring, disrespecting, and willfully wanting to hurt someone on a regular basis. People who do that, they're really, most times, projecting onto their victims what they hate, loathe, or fear about themselves. Excuse me.
And when you, from spending time with the bullies, do they get it? Do they even know that they're doing it?
Oh, absolutely. It's amazing. We had a boot camp, we're talking 10 years ago now, and we had a group of 12-year-old boys. We took them away, and it was being filmed on national television.
Yeah.
And one of the boys on about day three was pulled aside by the interviewer, and the interviewer said, look, can we just interview this kid? We're just going to cold turkey. No setup. We're not going to prompt him with any answers. We just want to interview him and see what we get. And we said, sure, yeah, no worries. He sat down and they said, so, Josh, tell us, what do you think about the camp? The question was, what do you think about the camp? His answer, and this was shown on national TV, he just turned around and said, well, what I don't like about myself is I bully others and I pick on them and I want to change.
So he said that without even prompting.
He said that. And it was no prompting. The question was, what do you like about the camp? The camp was all about, we didn't talk about, you guys are a bunch of bullies.
Yeah.
The whole, I'm not like, when I run a boot camp, I like to push kids beyond their limit, but not in a military style where they break the person down, then rebuild them. I like to create an atmosphere of absolutely outrageous encouragement and unconditional belief in the individual, because as psychologists have proven around the world over the last several decades, if you speak to a person's potential continuously, they rise to it. If you speak negatively down to a person, that's all they'll ever be.
Right.
And so we create this environment where kids and even corporates start to believe in their potential, believe in their own self-worth. And then they realize, oh, hang on a minute. I'm actually really, out of my own negativity, I'm just keeping everyone else down. And they get that realization. I've had so many kids over so many years. Like I speak to between 40 to 50,000 young people every year in high schools around Australia. And I've had that many kids after our seminars walk up to me and say, Brett, I just want to say, I'm one of those bullies you talked about. And I'm telling you now, I'm not going to do it anymore. And it's amazing. The teachers will be sitting there slack-jawed, just like, I can't believe I just heard that. And it really is life-changing. And it's what it's all about.
So have you taken some of the bullies and got them to try a triathlon?
No, that's my next project. I would love to. I've got so many dreams. I mean, my dreams are massive. And I mean, I've spoken with Macca about a few things that I'd like to do. And with the direction that the Challenge family have taken triathlon, I think there's a lot of potential around the world to really do projects like this with troubled kids, to really utilize triathlon as a tool to say, look what you're capable of. Look what a little bit of self-discipline and a little bit of taking responsibility for your own actions can achieve. Because as we all know, every one of us who have crossed the line at an iron distance or a half iron distance event, or even just an enticer, the feeling you get when you cross that line is incomparable, and it really makes you believe that you can do much more than what you initially thought. So triathlon is something that I'll be doing until the day I die, and I want to utilize it as a tool to help turn the lives around of the kids that I work with.
So in this day and age with Facebook and Twitter and Instagram, it seems like there's more opportunities to be a bully. And more opportunities to sort of be anonymous and hurt somebody virally, right? Hurt somebody through a lot of people,
yes,
while sitting in the privacy of your own house. Is it a bigger issue now than it was 5 years ago?
Oh, you hit the nail on the head, Bob. It is a massive issue. The social networking and cyberspace has really opened the door for new and horrible manifestations of bullying. In days gone by, when you and I were kids growing up, the bullying stopped usually when you came home, or when you left school. And you did have a reprieve. Nowadays, because kids are so addicted to the online world, that is their universe. And for them to log off, shut down, like us adults who are not digital natives per se, for us, we just think, delete the guy. You know, just delete. or block the person. But in their world, in their psyche, to do that means you're cutting yourself off from your social circle, so you're the loser. So kids stay logged in. And so what we do is, again, the motivation behind that person who's bullying online is the same motivation as someone who bullies verbally or through ostracization or rejection or even physically. It's the same motivation. They just have a different way of lashing out. Now, you said that you asked the question, has it grown? Yes, it has, because, I mean, let's face it, 9 years ago, so less than 10 years ago, the word cyberbullying did not exist in the English vernacular.
Right.
And now, over 60% of bullying worldwide is carried out online. 77% of bullying in places like India and China and Singapore is done online. So it is a massive issue. But, I've been approached by many IT companies to partner together with them to share their software that helps stop cyberbullying. But none of it really works until I came across this group, which we've just signed a deal with, that they've got this program, this software, which is, it's unbelievable, and we're soon going to be taking it to the market next month, actually. And it'll be a game changer because it actually helps stop cyberbullying and monitor cyberbullying better than anything I've ever seen. But again, it comes down to the environment of that person, that individual, in most cases, that child, has grown up in. And it comes back to the family unit. And it's not rocket science. It comes back to parenting or lack thereof.
Do you see a difference in different socioeconomic groups? Is there more among the wealthier kids or less among the wealthier kids?
It's the same across the board.
Yeah.
What you find the common denominator is those kids who have a positive relationship with their father tend not to be the bullies. Those with a broken, fractured, dysfunctional, or non-existent relationship with their father tend to be the bullies.
Interesting.
Because,
It's interesting. The father relationship is such a big part of it.
Oh, the role of the father is central in this whole issue. When it comes to the issue of bullying, as we spoke before, the number one common denominator of bullies themselves is low self-esteem and poor self-worth. And research over the last 45 years, particularly through the universities in America, has shown that the number one influencer on a person's self-esteem and self-worth is their father. It doesn't negate the influence that mum has, but the dad is the one who endorses the boys. It's a public declaration of a private relationship. And it's the dad who is the protector of the girls, so therefore the one validating and valuing the daughters. When the girls aren't validated or valued and the boys aren't endorsed, because this is the way the two different sexes get their self-esteem and self-worth, then they go looking for it in other ways. Boys will want to prove themselves because they're not being approved at home, and so they engage in bullying behavior. And girls, because they don't feel valued at home, want to try and get value elsewhere. And the number one competitor to receiving that value is other girls. So they devalue other girls through their behavior and gossip, innuendo, rejection, ostracization, all that sort of stuff. So it comes down to a lack of fathers or poor male role modeling.
Brett, first of all, thanks so much for your time. What are, and it's brettmurray.com, right? So if anybody is interested in finding out more about, because you do mediation, you do keynotes, you do workshops, you're incredibly involved here. Love that.
It's brettmurray.com.au.
Oh, .au. Okay, perfect. And in terms of triathlons for you, what's on your schedule?
Well, this year, definitely got Challenge Batemans Bay, Challenge Gold Coast, Challenge Foster. They're all Australian-based at the moment, but we're also hoping to... I've been talking with Macca. He's trying to get their guns in a Challenge Ross, which is definitely on the bucket list. And also looking to see if we can somehow be involved in the Triple Crown that's been announced over in Bahrain, Dubai, and Oman. So, nothing set in concrete, but we'd also love to come to the States and do a few events there as well. So you know, with the support of the Challenge family now, in the way it is, it's anything's possible.
Love it. Hey, Brett, congratulations on everything you're doing. It's always fascinating to me when someone finds their calling really young. It sounds like you found yours young and never gave up on it and just realized that kids needed help. I can't imagine how many kids that you've helped turn around. A lot of times everybody focuses on the kids being bullied, but the fact that you're focusing not just on those guys and girls, but also on the people who are doing the bullying and turning them around, that makes such a difference.
Thanks, Bob. And it's been such an honor to be on your show. I mean, you're such an icon in our sport. And I'm just so honored to be able to have this chat with you. And I look forward to many more.
I love it, Brett. Hey, congrats. Great to have you in our sport. Love when people use the sport itself to make a positive difference in other people's lives. That's the absolute best and why this sport is really, really special. Brett Murray has been our guest again. We are brought to you by California 1020, 10 miles, 20 bands, Sunday, February 15th, Del Mar Fairgrounds and Edison back. You can check that out at cal1020.com. Don Felder from the Eagles will be playing, and try-palooza.com. Coming up on Saturday, February 21st, we'll be honoring Meb Keflezighi, Dean Karnazes, Tim DeBoom, Molly Huddle, Meredith Kessler, Ben Hoffman, and a few others. Plus, we'll have an expo and clinics. Hold on, everyone. We will be right back.